God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 30th day of March, 2008, and you are listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Special music from Miss Brenda Waterloo, and then the sermon from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, preaching on the dangers of indifference. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you again for listening.
We're going to be over in 1 Peter chapter 5 once again, and then also John chapter 11, if you'd like to go to both places. 1 Peter 5, John chapter 11. Well, let's stand, if you would, as we look at 1 Peter 5, 7. One verse this morning, going to be a little bit different probably than my normal style of preaching, in that we're going to look at one primary verse, and we will support it with some other verses naturally, but 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And if you would, why don't we read that together and just allow it to sink in. 1 Peter 5, 7, ready? "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And I want you to know this morning, that is a true statement. It is one that is powerful, and when you just let it soak in and think about it, God of all heavens, God who created all things, cares about you. He cares about you. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now. Lord, it is hard to fathom that the Creator of the universe would even know who we were. That you'd even take the time, Lord, to know our name. As Matthew says, you have every hair on our head numbered. You know everything about us, Lord, to the finite detail. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you, although we do not understand that, Lord. it does bring us comfort to know that such an omniscient God would care about us. Lord, I pray now as each one is here, Lord, with so many burdens and thoughts and cares of this world, Lord, that today would be a day that we are reminded, Lord, and maybe even gain the ability to cast our cares upon you, because we know you care for us. We thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Maybe seated. We are just up in Wichita. Matter of fact, Jonathan's home for the weekend, and Sammy as well, and picked him up. And so I was reminded of a story that took place not too long ago up in Wichita, Kansas. LaShonda Calloway went into a convenience store, was going to purchase something, and ran into an altercation. And during that altercation in the convenience store, she was stabbed. The stab wound ended up being fatal and took her life. The amazing thing about it, though, is as the police began to investigate, they, of course, took the cameras down, and when they went through the tape, they saw something that stunned them. As a matter of fact, the captain of the Wichita Police Force said he'd never seen anything like it in his life. But he said no less than five people walked by her. As she lay in a convenience store, five people in Wichita, Kansas walked by. He said the most amazing thing was one actually stopped. One stopped, pulled out their camera phone and took a picture, and then continued on. And she lay there in blood and died, passed away. Most likely would have been able to be saved if someone would have dialed 911. But literally, there was just smirks, there was laughs, there were smiles, there was picture taken, but nobody cared. Nobody cared. That's why when Congressman Sam Rayburn found out that he had cancer and he wasn't going to make it, that he moved back to a small town in Texas, and his colleagues were astonished, saying, "We have the best hospital, the finest hospitals in Washington, D.C. Why would you go back to a little town in Texas?" He says, "Well, because down in Texas, when somebody's dying, people actually care." I don't know about you, but I know what everybody wants, and that is this. It's not that we want the highest technology. It's not that we want to live in the most popular place in the world. It's not that we want to be the most popular person in the world. If you're like me, we want one simple thing. We want someone to care. Caring is so essential. It's a basic thing of life. Loneliness, depression is rampant in our society because people feel nobody cares. And yet we come to 1 Peter 5:7, it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Before I can go too far in explaining God's care, I think maybe we may have to prove the case. We must prove the case, because that's a standard statement, it's a solid statement, and yet so many do not understand how much God really cares. So to do that, I'd like to do a couple things. I'd like to back up just a little bit, and first of all, talk about the antithesis of caring. I believe as I began studying it this week, the thing that would be the opposite of caring would be this thing. And I narrowed it down to one word. It's a word called indifference. Indifference. It was displayed by those who walked by this young lady who passed away in the convenience store and just looked, stared, smirked, or even turned their head and walked away. It is indifference. It is something we all must be careful of, because it's something that can creep upon any of us. I read a story of a man who was taking his son to the beach, and matter of fact, he was a minister, and they're walking down the beach, and here came a crippled man out of the water, and he had two prostheses, and he was struggling, and he got on the beach, and of course, the sand's a little different, and the man kept falling. And the dad, a minister, and just to show you how easy it can be to become indifferent, just did what we normally do, and although he saw it, he turned his head. But his 10-year-old son said, "Dad, I got to do something," and ran over to the man, picked him up, but he couldn't, so several people from the beach came and picked him up. And his dad said he just stood there frozen and realized he had missed his opportunity. But more important, how scary it was, is how indifferent he had become. We see people with so many needs around us. My question today is, have you and I become indifferent to their needs? We hear the stories, we watch the television, the news, and it's so much easier just to turn it off and to walk away than be truly concerned about it. Indifference. It's a scary thing. Eli Wiesel delivered a message to President Clinton when he was in office, and his wife and members of Congress. I'd like to read an excerpt from it because his topic was indifference. He called it the perils of indifference. He says, "What is indifference? The etymological proper word means no difference. No difference. A strange and unnatural state in which the lines blur between light and darkness, dusk and dawn, crime and punishment, cruelty and compassion, good and evil. What are its courses and inescapable consequences? Is it a philosophy? Is there a philosophy of indifference conceivable? Can one possibly view indifference as a virtue? Is it necessary at times to practice it simply to keep one's sanity, live normally, enjoy a fine meal, a glass of wine, as the world around us experiences harrowing upheavals? Of course, indifference can be tempting. More than that, seductive. It is so much easier to look away from victims. It is so much easier to avoid such rude interruptions to our work, our dreams, our hopes. It is, after all, awkward, troublesome to be involved in another person's pain and despair. Yet for the person who is indifferent, his or her neighbor are of no consequence. And therefore, their lives are meaningless. Their hidden or even visible anguish is of no interest. Indifference reduces the other. Indifference reduces the other to a mere distraction. Think about that. Have we so lived in this world and seen so much that we become indifferent to it? Have the people of God come to a point that we see and we walk by and nothing seems to appeal to us? Nothing seems to impact us? Almost like the three who walked by, the man who was all beaten up and bruised up. And you know the story. The priest, the Levite, and they all walk by. But finally one man stops, one Samaritan stops to help him. And we become so indifferent and we've become so caught up in our work and our homes that we don't want to care. Have we been hurt so bad that we're tired of caring? Whatever it is, I think we have to beware of indifference. Indifference is a scary thing. Indifference is when we come that we just come to a point where it makes no difference. Nothing has meaning. Nothing is more than a distraction in our life. I dare to say that would be a sad way to live. His name was Kevin Carter. I remember reading a story years ago. Matter of fact, back in 1994, he won the Pulitzer Prize for feature photography. But I'll never forget a story. He won the prize because he went to Sudan and he took pictures of the plight of the Sudanese children going through that really genocide and the war that was taking place. But he took a picture of an emaciated child who was crawling on the ground trying to get to a feeding center. The picture showed, as the child was crawling, just over in a distance, a vulture watching and waiting. As he took it and received award, this young 33-year-old at the time received this award for the best photograph of the year because it really brought light onto the plight of the Sudanese people. And so in that, he'd done an honorable thing. But what he did not anticipate was what would happen after he took the picture and won the award. Everybody wanted to know about the child. He said, well, it took him about 20 minutes. For 20 minutes, he framed the shot to where he could get a picture of this child and to get all the feelings and emotions that were there. And for 20 minutes, he framed it as a child painfully tried to make his way to get to the feeding center to get some food. And he says, when he was done with the shot, they said, what did you do? He said, I walked away. He said, matter of fact, as people being asked the question, because I really don't know what happened to the child, to tell you the truth. I wanted to make sure that I basically got to the deadline. And I got the picture in. And he walked away. So at a young age of 33, Kevin could take it no longer and he took his own life. Because he'd realized he'd become indifferent to the world. He was in the midst of some of the worst horrible pain that you could experience and go through. And in the midst of that circumstance, he had the audacity to watch a child crawl and give them no food, no hand, no help. Just watch. I tell you, that is indifference. I tell you, may you never get there. May we never get to the point where we are so indifferent, where we have so much and God has blessed so much, where God has given us such abundance as He is in America. And when we see the stories and we hear them, we turn them off, we walk away. May we never walk down the street and see someone struggling and turn our heads. May we never get to the point where we struggle to just help somebody that we do not know. May we never get to the point where we quit caring about those who are in deep pain. Because we don't want to feel their pain. We don't want to go there. And if we're honest, we've probably all done it. Oh, we don't want to talk about it. That's not stories I like to talk about. I don't want to talk about turning my head and walking away. I don't want to talk about saying, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to talk about that. You know why? Because it hurts. It hurts to think that we would not care about somebody else. And yet the true fact of the matter is, we all experience this at some point in our life. But aren't you glad there's a God who is never indifferent? Aren't you glad there's a God who's never turned His head? There's a God who's never looked at your pain. He's never looked at your sorrow. He's never looked at your plight. He's never seen what you've gone through and turned and said, I want nothing to do with it. The Bible says, casting all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He is never an indifferent God. He knows everything about everyone, and yet He still cares. He knows our wickedness. He knows our evil. He knows our thoughts and the intents of our heart. And even in the midst of all that, He never says, enough is enough. He says, I care. That's the God that we serve. That's the God I want to talk to you about today. A God who is not indifferent, but a God who cares. And to challenge us to move past any type of indifference, any form that has crept into our life, and to be more like Jesus Christ, to care. To care. Oh, no, we probably can't save the world. We probably can't change anything, but we probably can change our world where we're at. We probably can have enough care and compassion like God Himself to make a difference in someone else's life. So what is this caring? Well, we told you what it is not. It's not indifference. So we now must build a case for just a minute about, does God truly care? Now, I've said He cares, but I think we need to build a case. Time would not allow us this morning to go all the way throughout the Bible and talk about the compassion of God. So I've chosen one story, John chapter 11. Would you look at it with me real quick? John chapter 11. Once again, time would not allow us to finish all of John chapter 11. So I'll read the beginning to maybe get your thoughts moving. Many of you have read this story, and so then I will explain the story after we read the first four or five verses. To lay the groundwork, we find out that a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. Then Jesus heard that. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place wherefore He was. What a wonderful story. It's probably a wonderful story because when you get to verse 35, you have the shortest verse in the Bible. I remember memorizing verses as a young man, and you'd win prizes for memorizing verses. You always threw in John 13, 35. Jesus wept. It was a free verse. I mean, you won a lot for that. But in the midst of this is the one time that you actually see real human emotion coming from Jesus. Now, you can see it in other stories, but at no other point do you see Him literally crying. Here He is weeping as we get to the end of the story. And why? Because as we see the story, His friend, His good friend Lazarus, and friends Mary and Martha. And by the way, as Brother Tester mentioned, there is nothing strange about this relationship. Those wicked, immoral people who'd like to say that Jesus had some type of immoral affair with any one of these three are nothing more than degenerate. There is nothing more than proper friendliness and love like you and I should have for a brother or sister in Christ. That is what it is. So He loved them because why? They were close to Him as family. They had done many things together of time we do not have to give. But in this, they spent this time together enjoying one another. Lazarus dies. Of course God knew. He's God. Mary and Martha send messenger, come quickly. Lazarus is about to die. And the Bible says that Jesus, in verse 6, abode 2 days. He purposely delayed. Why would a man delay to go and help his best friend? This healer who had healed many of blindness and leprosy and every disease you could imagine. Of the woman with the issue of blood that even the physicians couldn't heal. This man who could do anything. Matter of fact, later it even comments on that. His friend said, could he not have been here and healed him? Where was he? You might remember Mary had the same thought. As Martha ran to meet him, as the story goes, and after he delays a couple days, they're coming into town, and it was about 1/8 mile, all they had to go, but he waited 2 days to get there. And as they made the journey, they were coming closer, Martha heard and ran to meet him. But Mary stood in her place. Why? She was mad. Because she knew, you could have been here. Yeah, no, you could have been here. And as he began to discuss with them, and he began to look, the Bible says Jesus wept. Now let me explain to you what this weeping was. It was real, legitimate tears. He was in pain, he was hurting. But can I tell you why? He was not crying because Lazarus was dead. Throughout the whole chapter, he says, he is not dead, he sleepeth. Why? I'm going to raise him from the dead. I mean, it wasn't a shock to Jesus. Jesus was like, oh, I'm missing him, I'm going to lose him. Jesus said the whole plan was to resurrect him. Well, then why would he be crying? Why would it hurt him so bad? Because when he saw the eyes of Mary and Martha, when he heard their voice and the groaning in their spirit, the Bible says twice in this chapter, Jesus groaned in himself. There's intense pain that came to him. And as a matter of fact, that word groaning almost actually means anger, malice. But in this context, it doesn't allude to that. But it is a strong, passionate emotion of pain. But why? He knew the end result. He knew he's going to raise him up. They're going to roll the stone away. He's going to say, Lazarus, come forth. He comes forth. Why in the world would he be crying? Because although he knew this, as he's looking at their pain, he had compassion upon them. And the Bible says he wept. He wept. And he cried because he cared. I don't know about you, but I'm glad Jesus cares. I'm reminded of Psalms 142, 4 and 5, and it says, I looked to my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. I've got good news for you here today. when no one else seems to care, when no one else seems to pay attention, when no one else seems to be there, we have a God who cares about you. Oh, this isn't some deep message. This isn't some new theology that you're going to have to memorize today. It's a reminder for you and I as born-again believers. We have a God who cares. It's a reminder for those that may wonder about Jesus and this Christianity thing. Is it real? And I'm telling you, it is real. Because when no man, no woman will care for our soul, there is a God who cares every step of the way. He cares in three specific areas. I think, first of all, externally. I want you to understand something about God. He doesn't just care for your soul. He cares about your body. The Bible tells us often throughout the Word of God, as they came and they listened to him preach, he said he looked out. And the Bible says he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were hungry. He actually cared that they were hungry. And the Bible says at that time he did the feeding of the 5,000 and he broke the bread and the fishes and he fed them. Why? Because he cared about them. He cared about the sick man. He cared about the leprous man. He cared about the blind. And he took time to heal them. If your body and your physique did not matter, Jesus would have done nothing. But he wanted us to know even the outward pains. Some of you are here today at church and you're in pain. Matter of fact, you're in pain almost every single day in your body. You've just stopped complaining because you realize none of us are listening. But the fact of the matter is you're in pain. I mean, you come and the hip hurts and the back hurts and the leg hurts. And man, I'm getting to that age where I almost understand. I don't yet, I got to be honest with you, but it's coming. You know, you start rolling out of bed and things are rolling out later, you know, that don't catch up to you until later on, you know. You start walking, you know, you're just sitting there. There's some days I'm sitting there, I'm like, ow! I wasn't even moving and that hurt. Now, young people, you don't even know what I'm talking. Don't even think you know what I'm talking about. What was that, you know? You play sports out, used to take a day. I don't even tell you how long it takes now to recover. You know, you're getting up 3 days later going, oh. I mean, your body's beginning to change. And sometimes we get this mind that, oh, God only cares about spiritual things. I love pious gas bags. These religious people who think they know it all. Only God cares. He doesn't like the material things. He only cares about the spiritual. That's a lie. My God is concerned about every aspect of your life. And he proves it over and over. If you'll just read the Bible, you read the account of his life, he cared about them eating. Matter of fact, even when the disciples had denied him in John chapter 20, verse 21, you remember that? And you go there, and they'd fished all night, and they finally couldn't catch anything, and he finally has them catch something, and they come to shore. He made them dinner. He made them dinner. Why? He cared. He knew they were tired. He knew they were wore out. They hadn't had anything to eat. And he says, come and dine. Why? He cares about your physique. What do you mean, preacher? Your external matters to God. Whatever your pain, whatever your ailing, whatever your ache, he sees it, he knows, he cares. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Never think that you've, oh, I just can't burden God with this. He says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He cares about your internal. Well, of course, he's God. Yeah, but he really does. He cares about your mind, your will, your emotions. You not think when he was looking at Mary and Martha, the thought going through his mind? I'll tell you, I understand. I don't cry about a lot of things, but I said instantly, if I see someone else crying, I'm a goner. I'm a goner. I mean, I can sit there and I'm fine, but if I see somebody else emotional, I'm like, yeah, what's even worse, even when I know the ending of the story, it doesn't work. It's still coming. Well, Bridget, you watched that movie 3 times. I know, but it's so good. You know what's going to happen. I know, but she's going to cry. Here it comes. Ah! You say, well, I don't know. I just can't stand to see somebody else in pain. That's the hardest thing for me at funerals. Doing a funeral, I'll be okay. Until I look at the family, and I'm like, don't look at the family. Don't look at the family. You say, why? Because I know what's going to happen. I mean, immediately it's like, poof. You know, why? Because if someone else is hurting, I just feel bad for them. I can somehow just grab their pain and take it. It's just a natural thing. So I understand when Jesus looks at Mary and Martha and he goes, Jesus wept. And matter of fact, the friends said, because he loved them so. Whew. Listen, some of you have some mental problems. You got some anguish taking place inside. Some of you think, well, man, I must not be a real good Christian. God doesn't really care about me. I want you to know he cares about every anxious thing going through your head right now. From the least to the most severe, I don't care what it is. I have a nephew who's severe autistic. Some of you met him. It's Schaefer. He's getting big now. Gosh, he's like 14 and, I don't know, 12 foot 8. I don't know. He's 6 foot something. You know, you're looking up at him going, wow. But, I mean, he's severe. I mean, he doesn't communicate hardly at all. Of course, sign language, different things like that. And he'll do things if you're familiar with it. But probably if both of you met him, you would have no conversation at all. You wouldn't get very far. He's severe autistic. You know, I think about that now. You know, God knows everything he's thinking and cares. Yeah. God cares about some of your parents sitting in a nursing home, can't hardly get out of bed. You know God cares about that? You know God cares? It is not missing his mindset. Those of you who lonely sit at home, wondering if anybody else even cares about what you think about, what emotional pain you're going through, does God care? Can I just remind you? Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God cares about every mental anguish that we could discuss today. God cares about every paranoia. God cares about every pain. God cares about every disease. God cares about it all. Why? Because he's a wonderful God. And when you come to 1 Peter 5:7, if you just read it, it says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. It could just be another blah, 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 blah. But no, it's bigger than that. It's a deep, powerful verse where God says, I truly care. And he's proven it. We've taken one chapter that if we detail out, we'd see the love for Mary, the love for Martha, the love for Lazarus, the love for the people, the love for the disciples. He had great care for everybody on every facet. Even there, if you take a look at John chapter 11, verse 25, take a look real quick. He brought in every aspect. He didn't forget the most important. Look what he says. And Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I mean, in the midst of her physical pain, her emotional pain, he's getting ready to raise Lazarus. He doesn't forget the most important, and that is her eternal. In the midst of all this, the thing that God is most concerned about is not just that you feel good on the outside, not just that your mental capacities are where they need to be, but more importantly, as God's in the midst of this, he explains to her about eternal life and the resurrection one day that's coming, and all those who believe in Jesus Christ will be a part of. I want you to know God is concerned about your eternal life. If you're here today and you never accepted Jesus Christ, and you don't even understand what going to heaven means and all that kind of stuff, and you hear those terms and you hear that philosophy and you hear about God and about heaven, but you couldn't articulate how a person gets there according to the Word of God, I want you to know something. God loves even you and cares about that. Matter of fact, it's probably the most important thing in his mind right now is where you're going. And even though you've rejected him for years, and some of you have purposely not studied, not researched, not cared, you've been indifferent towards spiritual things, can I help you? God cares about you. God cares and loves you. And even to your last dying breath, he is concerned about where you spend eternity. That is the type of God that we serve. So then we come to the verse. What's the verse, preacher? Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Why would you cast your cares upon someone unless you knew they cared? You ever not talk to people because you don't think they care? Well, I have. Or you ever been telling your story? This is my favorite. You ever somebody ask you, how you doing? And you start telling them, and they turn and walk away? You say, have you ever had that happen? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the other day, hey, Bob, how you doing? It's like, okay. My favorite that I know, if the staff starts doing this to me, I have a little routine I go through. You know, if we're talking and maybe they get interrupted by a cell phone or something else, I'll just keep talking and go, and then the aliens came and took my liver. When they were done with my liver, they took the brain. And I just go on, because when they're all done, I'm just seeing if they were really paying attention, you know, to it. You know why? Because sometimes you get to a point you think, nobody cares. You're telling a story, nobody's listening, nobody wants to listen. They're leaving, they're walking, whatever the scenario is. So in other words, I'm sorry if I'm around that person, I'm not sharing my inner feelings. You ever have somebody say, why don't you talk to me? That's some of you spouses. Why don't you talk to me? Because maybe, just maybe, you have an aura around you that says, I don't care. Why would anybody open up to someone who doesn't care? It makes no sense. And so when Peter comes here and says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you, then my first thought that came to me is, does he really? Does he really? Because why am I going to take time to tell him anything if he doesn't care? Is this just some religious jargon we're talking about? Or does God really care? I got good news. He really cares. He wants to hear it all. He wants to hear about, I stubbed my toe. He wants to hear. He wants to hear, poor Brother Lee, your vacation last week. He wants to hear. You got to hear that. Well, don't hear that. You'll be depressed. Now, he wants to hear those things. Yeah, but you mean God wants to hear about my kid problem? He wants to hear. Yeah, but there's bigger, God's taking care of the world. But he cares for you. Don't you get it? He was narrowing down this world, this cosmos, to one, you. I think we've forgotten that sometimes. I think it passes by that God really cares about me as an individual and all my little problems. He cares. He cares. So what's that mean now? This is the good news. Cast all your cares upon Him. Because He cares, you can take everything and literally cast it upon Jesus, and He'll take care of it. Like carrying a heavy load, and somebody comes up and says, "Hey, can I help you with that?" Oh, man, yeah, thanks. Here you go. You know what God wants you to do? He literally wants you to take whatever burdens you're bearing today that you walked in with. Concern about a sick spouse, concern about a wayward child, concern about a personal health, an emotional problem that you're dealing with, an argument, fight, whatever it is, God wants you to go, "Okay, God, I'm tired of carrying this. Here you go." You say, "Preacher, how do you do that?" Casting literally deals with this. To cast is to take and to throw upon another, but the connotation is a confidence that the person taking your load has the ability to carry it. So when He says, "Cast all your care upon Him," you're taking it because it's important to you, and you're entrusting it in somebody else to take care of it. It'd be like you taking a child and going to a babysitter. If you're like me, we didn't just drop our children off anywhere. Okay, we were tempted a couple times, okay? I'm not going to lie. But really, you know, you want to know background checks, FBI, you know, what kind of family were they? I mean, you want to know why. I'm taking precious, something precious to me, and I'm saying, "Here, would you keep an eye on this?" Why? Because I have another responsibility I have to take care of. Could you keep an eye on this? So you didn't just go next door or down the street to someone you didn't know and say, "Hey, you don't know me, I don't know you, but I got a kid, would you watch him? Give you $10 an hour." Well, that's foolishness. Nobody does that. That has any logic in them at all. You take that which is precious and you entrust somebody with it. Why? Because it's important to you. I'm not saying cast all your care upon God because He's just going to flippantly deal with it. We're talking about saying, "God, this is important to me. This is dear to my heart. It is hurting. It's pain. Would you help?" And He says, "Yeah." Well, how do I do that? Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." Basically saying, you're casting all your care upon Him. You come and in prayer say, "God, I know this may not seem big to you, but it's big to me right now. Would you help me through it? Would you give me some peace? Would you give me some strength? Would you give me some wisdom? Would you just be there?" And God will say, "Yeah." "Yeah, but there's 20 people praying that." You know what's neat about that? He cares about every one of them. "Hey, what about the other 1,000 churches in just America?" He cares about every one of them. "Well, what about around the world?" He cares about every one of them. That's how big our God is. Think about it. I said my prayer. If He's big enough to number your hair, and I'm looking, and for some of you, that's an easy task, which makes it easier for the rest of us. But if God says He knows, I mean, think about it. I combed my hair today, and several fell out. I pulled several more gray ones out. I don't know who's putting those in, but anyways, God knew that. I mean, really, right now, if I were to ask God which ones fell out, wouldn't it be amazing that God would know everybody's here? And I imagine if you combed your hair today, and most of you did, I'm looking, a couple of you forgot. But anyways, but if we take all the hair that came out in the combs today and realize, God, and I mean, not even a blink of an eye, knew it. If you're talking to Him saying, "Yeah, where's hair number 4,227? It's on your shoe. "Yeah, well, where's hair number 22 for Brother Lynn? Because he only got 25. Where's 22? Is he still looking at me? Just checking. You know what's amazing? God goes, "That's right here." "Oh, yeah." You go, "I'm not." "Oh, now, wait a minute. If God would know that," it goes on to say He takes care of the lilies of the field and the flowers. And He makes sure the water and take care of them and they grow up. Oh, man, it blows my mind. You don't think He knows you? Now, you may be a victim of indifference in this world. And I'll be honest with you, people may not care about you. Let's just be real. You may have a family that's abandoned you. You may feel like even when you come to church, you're all alone. But I got some good news for you today. I got some amazing news to you. God cares. And I don't know what you came in with today, but I know this. You can leave a different person if you want to. For those of you here today that know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I just want to remind you that we have a great big God. And I don't know what your problem is, but if you're like anybody else, you got one. And you may have 10 of them. And you may be trying to do this on your own. And it's just my responsibility to remind you what Peter said. Would you just cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And maybe then a smile will come back in your face. And maybe then a little bit of hope, a little bit of ray of hope will come as you realize you're not going through this alone. you've got God, even if nobody else is there. Then for those of us that are believers, can I remind you of this as well? Be careful of indifference. Be careful of indifference. We are called to be like Jesus Christ, which means we are called to care. And that's not always easy, but I'm telling you something. Living with the opposite of that is not worth it. The antithesis of caring is indifference. May we never become indifferent to the plights. And I wish I had time to explain. And probably the best way I can is this. The homeless, are you ready? The prostitutes, yeah, they're doing it on purpose. And guess what? They still need Jesus. The drug addicts, it's their fault. Yeah, their fault they caught that disease, but guess what? They still need someone to care. The alcoholics, well, it serves them right. They're going to die of liver disease or whatever. They still need someone to care. You see what I'm saying? We become very indifferent real quick, or we quit caring. Don't do that. If you've headed down that path, today would be a good day to say, oh God, help me start caring like you do it once again. And if you are here today and you don't know my God, you don't know my Jesus, can I tell you something? He cares about you. He cared so much that he gave the greatest sacrifice. He died on an old rugged tree called the cross. He paid the ultimate sacrifice to prove that he cared about you. And he said, if any man will come unto me, he said, I will in no wise cast them off. He says, I will in no wise send them away if they will just come to me for that salvation. He cares about your physical. He cares about your external, internal, and eternal. All of those God cares about. So today, very simply, for our invitation is this. If you need something, I know of a place where you can get some help. As we stand, if you'd just like to come and talk to your God and lay whatever burden you think, big or small, it is. Nobody knows what it is. It could be huge. It could be something really little. It doesn't really matter. We're not comparing with one another. We're taking our cares to God. Would you do that today? Because if you cast all your cares upon Him, I guarantee you, He cares for you. Let's stand. Lord, we come to now. We thank You. We thank You for who You are, Lord. I know often we come into church, Lord, we think, well, it's going to be a chiding. All God's going to do is reprove us. It's just not so. I thank You for 1 Peter 5:7 and John 11 and so many other verses about compassion and kindness in Your Word. Well, if we just take our Bibles and go to the back, Lord, and look up those words, we would be amazed at how many words and synonyms of those words exemplify Your care and love for us. Of course, the greatest care was laying down Your life. Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for a friend. It is the ultimate, and You showed that. Lord, I first of all pray for those who may be lost, as we mentioned, Lord, if they would like to come today and experience the true love and care of a God who knows everything about them. You know everything they've done, everything they've thought. You know how wicked they are, and yet You still love them and care about them. Help them to accept that and come and accept You today. And then, Lord, for our church body here, Lord, many things are going on. Many, many things, Lord. We're just normal people with an extraordinary God. So, Lord, today, help us as we come and just cast off these cares that we've been trying to carry alone. Lay them at Your feet and walk away realizing that there's somebody helping. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponca Theater Building. Give us a chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thank you again for listening.